You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show, Monday edition. After one of the greatest July rain weekends in recent memory. I feel like one of those old guys that sits on the porch of the old general store. We haven't seen one of these ones in years. So, welcome back to the show. We got a party coming up Saturday night, which is crazy that it's already here. Marriott University Park Hotel. I think we got about 24 hours left of RSVPs or you're out. So I need anyone who's been on the... I've had so many people go, yeah, I was doing the typical Tucson thing and waiting to the last minute. So anyway, let us know. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. For the first 2 hours, we have Libertarian Monday. And we have Jonathan Hoffman, the feral libertarian.
Hola.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
And then we have the grand mistress of the Libertarian Party, Drew Heaton here. Drew, good morning.
Aloha.
Aloha to you too. Well, welcome back to you both, you guys.
Thanks.
How did your weekend go?
We got you cornered. There's a libertarian there and here and there and
everywhere.
That's okay. I've been in not as dangerous of situations, but similar situations. So, Jonathan, you renewed the hope and interest in our weekends on Mondays. Because you said, hey, bro, why aren't we talking about weekends anymore?
Yeah.
I was just getting in the show like a cold-hearted jackass. And here we are. So you start us off. Give me, in less than a minute and a half, give me the good things you did this weekend.
Whoa.
You're always at your best when I force you to say.
Yeah, well, I can't. I opened up the laptop because I got everything on the computer now, right? Because nobody likes paper anymore, so...
Are you telling me you don't remember your weekend without your computer?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
That's the short
Let's
version.
Go to the adult in the room. Drew Heaton, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I fed my sheep, chickens, you know, did that whole thing. I ended up helping with the VUSD recall a little bit, so...
Okay. I'm going to meet a few of those folks later today.
Fabulous.
And so let's talk about the... You might have. We're so used to TUSD problems. She said VUSD.
That's correct.
Which is the Vail Unified School District.
Yes.
Now, you live out in that area?
I actually don't. I'm east side, but I do have grandkids in that school district, so it matters.
I'm with you. Tell us about, they're recalling the superintendent?
No, the president.
Sorry,
and
president of the board. Sorry, not the superintendent. Sorry.
Yeah, and
That's
another
Monday.
Board member.
Okay, who's the other board?
Aiken and Anderson.
And what's your problem with these people?
Well, I think that they're not listening to the parents. They are not supporting the parents. And I think it's frankly tyrannical to have the governor of the CDC say certain things, but then give this, do whatever you want to the school board. And they just like run rampant on parents' rights and children and
so when regarding
the mask mandates, but it's gonna bleed over into other things. So
do you feel as though the chair of the board of the Vail School District has been respectful to the parents and the taxpayers of Vail?
No, I don't.
Because that's something I've heard from folks that they're not too happy with, is kind of how he kind of treats people who don't agree with the narrative.
Right.
Okay, so what did you do? You were collecting signatures?
Well, actually, I donated my notary services to a lot of the petitions that were, you know, being turned in.
Okay, very cool. I heard from somebody the initial spot check on the City of Tucson's Fight for 15. Just heard this morning. Sounds like 37% on just whatever they pulled as the spot were not good signatures.
Well, that's...
That's disturbing.
Or not.
So, we got to figure that out in relation to, where do we go from here? Because they said they got 24,000, 37 are not good. And that sounded right to me, because if you're in the City of Tucson and you've been collecting 24,000 signatures over the last so many months, right? The idea is... And, you know, they're hanging out in the circle of self-righteousness, which is the ones that don't want to talk to anybody. You still got the Rona, you know, all of this stuff. You figured there had to be some fluffing and duffing on this stuff. So Looks like
always. There's always that when with the recall petition.
Yeah. So it sounds like they got missing everything. Certain things got missing vital information and all of that stuff. So the next 10 days, which is the challenge period, will be a hoot and a holler, as we like to say. So what I did, we'll leave Jonathan for last. I had a buddy in from out of town, and basically we just kind of chilled out, had a good night. Saturday night was so perfect with the rain, and you know, made a happy fire in the chimney and
beautiful.
Had a couple of cocktails, and I made lasagna, homemade lasagna. I figured with all that rain, it was perfect. So my wife made a killer antipasto. I did a full-blown sausage and ground beef lasagna with sausage from the sausage shop. And as Hannibal Lecter said, we opened up a nice bottle of Chianti. And so that was good. It was overall just a good, fun day, and dogs running in the rain and all that jazz.
Speaking of the sausage shop, at Val Romero's silent auction, my husband won a gift certificate to the sausage shop, so we'll be visiting there soon.
There nice. You go.
That's pretty nice. Cool.
And Val had a fundraiser.
It was on Friday. I didn't know if that was technically like the weekend.
Yes,
so.
It is.
You can push the boundaries.
We did after, well. After the show ends, that's the weekend. On Friday.
Okay.
So, all right, Hoffman. I know you went to Magpies. Got your pizza.
Yes. Yes.
At least I remembered your notes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But that reminds me, the last couple of times I went to, now Magpies is a local pizza outfit, right? And they make excellent pizza, except in my opinion, the Houghton location, which I've had a couple of bad experiences. Like, you know how you talk about pizza always being underdone?
Yes, sir.
So whenever I order pizza and you have an option for, you know, well done, I check that. And it works because the pizza comes out properly cooked.
Right.
Well, not the last time, but the time before Magpies, I checked well done, and it came black. The whole top of the pizza was black. So that was the last straw. There were some other problems, too.
That's juvenile.
Yeah. And then my lovely wife and I decided we were going to do pizza for dinner on Saturday. And in the middle of saying anywhere but Magpies, she says, but it has to be Magpies. And I said, why is that? And she said, because I want to get my soy cheese substitute. And then they only have it over there. Thank you. You're very more generous than am I.
She's a beautiful soul, so I forgive her.
So anyway.
Soy cheese.
I chew on. That's why we get two pizzas instead of sharing one. So we ordered our two pizzas, and it turned out to be very good. So
okay.
I think maybe whatever's been going on at Houghton is straightened out, and it's a good local pizza place.
50 years from now, we put Rocco in his grave, right? I'm going to put on his headstone. He properly cooked pizza and wings, never undercooked pizza and wings. Because that's one of – not only do I love everything else about in relation to how he cooks stuff, is he properly cooks pizza and wings. Right, because wings are always when you go to some other places that aren't paying attention, they're a little gummy because they're not cooking it enough, right? And the same thing with pizza. So Bill number two, who used to own many Godfather pizzas in the old days, will tell you we were at a place called Amarcy's. It used to be up in Oro Valley. It was an Italian place. It was pizza night, and it came out, it was good, but it was a little underdone. And Bill said to him, hey, take a cheese pizza, get out your stopwatch, and I want you to burn it. Right. Tell me, time out, when do you think it's going to burn? And it always takes longer than they think, right? And he's like, back 2 minutes off of that and see where you're at. That's probably where you need to be. And so that's what all these pizza places have to do. But what happens is there's so much on the speed. I got to get it out. I got to get another pizza in so we can sell it. And that's the problem.
That reminds me of, you said to Rocco once in the air, this is, oh, I bet you don't have a conveyor or anything. He says, well, actually, we do have conveyor, but it's very slow.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Correct. Because usually conveyor ovens suck, right? But the way he's got it timed out and the way, you got to throw it back in once in a while. Right, the other places it goes through once and like, I guess the machine told me the pizza's done, so it's got to be done, you know what I mean? So just the way it is. So anyway, we have lots of stuff to talk about today. I want to talk, I know you guys have your issues from a libertarian angle.
Issues.
It's true. I do want to play a little bit. I sent it to Ray. It's this guy named Alan Jones. He's the guy from Sky News on Australia who just can't believe the American press is this horrible in relation to Joe Biden. And he has this great rant about...
Play it.
Oh, we're going to talk about Gretchen Whitmer getting on the road to being stripped of her emergency powers when it comes to lockdown. We'll talk about that. What else do we got here today? I want to talk about two implosions in relation to the Trump speaking event in Phoenix that has nothing to do, one is because they were at the Trump rally speaking and their actions kind of after they spoke, and the other one is a self-proclaimed new party guy who basically blew his own efforts up due to his own ego, which is, of course, beautiful. We have Mark Kelly introducing legislation to prop up failing news outlets. We got to do that. Oh, yeah. We got to do, this will be up Drew's alley, Banner and Honor Health now demanding COVID-19 vaccines, medical professionals pushing back a little bit. So we'll talk about that. So anyway, 790-2040, it's an O day. And so I got to keep explaining it to you nice people.
That's a sailboat company.
The musical group, the letter O should start the whole thing. You can forget the word the. So the, like Ray's got the OJs, perfect. Okay, Oasis, great, we're there. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, an 80s new waiver. That was a Drew, that's coming up soon too. But last name begins with O. Okay. Ozzy Osbourne works today. Damn it, because of the double O. I picked the wrong one. But Oliver Nelson, maybe not. All right. So you guys are getting there. You'll figure it out by the time we get to about T or U. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the voice, local news and talk. Jonathan Hoffman, Drew Heaton, Christy Simone.
I can't wait for Z. 3 hours of Frank Zappa, Warren Zevon, and ZZ Top.
Part of that, I mean, if we played 3 hours of Zappa, we would literally lose half our audience.
Well, no, we could do it for 1 hour, just spread it over the three.
We'd lose half the audience. I appreciate Frank's greatness, but
good.
It's tough for
I'll take it.
Well, now, were you upset that I said the Grateful Dead is worse than Jethro Tull? Was that you?
Yes.
All right. Wake up, Tucson.
We'll talk.
All right, a little Oasis on an Monday. Again, I'll never forget the Gallagher brothers. Go watch the Behind the Music. It's totally hilarious. Where when they break up, one of the brothers, Noel leaves, and they're doing some sort of live concert on MTV, and his brother is up in the balcony heckling his own brother during a film thing. I thought that was absolutely magical. So let's start. I was looking at you guys are good professionals, Drew Heaton, Jonathan Hoffman, and you guys gave me a little bit of what did you want to talk about today, right? Mm-hmm. And so I always talk to you guys when I'm talking to my brothers and sisters in the Libertarian Party is, why aren't we running more people for office, right? Like school boards and things like this, because, you know, start somewhere, for God's sakes, right? So I see that you have four Libertarian governor candidates.
Yes.
So
one from Tucson, Steve Remus.
I know Steve. I remember when he ran as a Republican for legislative district.
Yeah, he's out there again, hitting the pavement. So that's pretty exciting. Also, Barry Hess. I have to admit, I don't know the other two candidates.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So what? So am I? But so we have people running for governor. Great. What about other things? Why is it so hard for libertarians to run for other things?
School board.
Yeah, but are there some closet libertarians that you don't have to mention them, kind of one thrown out or beat up, but are there out there on these school, or, you know, are there any libertarians that are running for other things? Shouldn't they be running for other things?
For the House right now and Congress, so they're up there.
Right.
There's about a dozen. But I get your comment.
Right.
I honestly wish I could get more out there. Right now, I'm just trying to wake the libertarians up. I do think we're kind of feral in that way. I mean, I have found more people are introverted, you know. I think it's the personality thing that draws people to this party of principle. But you know, I'm constantly trying to wake people up. You know, we have to get involved.
So you,
I like to say, it's pretty serious when the introverts show up.
Right. Jonathan, what do you think? What about libertarians and running for office? Because I make fun of the Republicans sometimes because there's too many of us that want to go to our own meetings and pontificate and all this stuff. But how does the libertarians get out of that stance into a little more action?
Well, on the one
hand, as Elvis once said,
on the one hand, I'm not a big fan of running candidates because I think it's a great opportunity to speak on the principles that most people in the general public are not aware or really understand. And if you get the information, they hear it, a lot of people respond to it. The downside is that you run a candidate, you get people excited, you get people to give you money, and you don't even come close to winning. You don't even make a splash. I mean, you get to go to, like I said, you get to go to candidate interviews and stuff and debates and speak the truth, but in the end, you get people who give you support, give you money. In the end, you don't make a splash, and it's disappointing. People are thinking, "Why am I doing this? Why am I supporting these people? They're not going to win anything." So I think maybe, and I don't know what that other angle is, but maybe there should be another angle. Maybe that more, if there's a way you can get into
so you would like go Drew,
go ahead.
I think we've been playing that short game for far too long, and we just need to step up to the plate. You know, I understand what you're saying, and to some degree I agree with you as far as the larger races, right? You know, president, for example, we're going to get our message out there, and sometimes that's the only way to do it. But to Chris's point, we just need people in general to step up, regardless of party, you know, and just start running on values in these local races. And I agree with you. You know, one of the things that happened at one of our meetings is someone had an idea to do something that they brought to me as the Libertarian chair and said, "Well, so are we going to vote on this on the next meeting?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You don't need my permission. As libertarians, you just go out and do." So I think it's, you know, people need to understand we're building this, that they're going to receive support from the party. And that's what we haven't had for quite a while, is we haven't had, you know, that engagement in the county level with a chair that's going to say, "Hey, well, let's support you." And right now I'm in the building phase, you know, I'm building that team up right now. So I would like to, just as much as you, have people running in all of these different city and local school board races and commission and all those kind of things. But right now I really just need people to participate in the party and show up. So
isn't it a win for the party? Because basically what you want is a speaking club that can talk at a debate once in a while, is what you're saying.
Which we're doing.
Okay. And I think that's stagnant in my mind. All right. So isn't the win that you have a couple of libertarians, they run in nonpartisan races, right? They're going to run in a school board, right? And all of a sudden there's this school board member who's truly an advocate for parents, right? Who's really doing the right job. And then it's like, "Oh, did you know that school board member is a libertarian?" They go, "Oh, that's kind of weird." Right?
Exactly.
Isn't that the moment where you take the next little baby step, as Dr. Leo Marvin would say in his wonderful book? That's a What About Bob reference for all of you. Right? Isn't that the moment where the little win starts?
Right. So we have to get out of this short game and start playing the long game and start building for that to happen. That's what we're doing. I think one of the steps towards that is that we're going to be acquiring a county headquarters, which is pretty exciting.
Where's that going to be?
It's Midtown.
Okay.
So Craycroft, 5th area.
Okay.
We're going to be hosting debates for not just candidates, but for local issues. I mean, obviously this is a great platform for the city. What you do, Chris, I honestly believe that. I think you provide a huge service. But I do think as libertarians, we are particularly poised right now as that bridge of the social divide. You know, we have liberal and conservative friends, and we can bring them together in a way that people are going to hear the message, and as a result of that, start to make their mind up about, okay, what do I really think about these issues? And whether, you know, let's say there's a
Hold your thought for two seconds. I hear Voices of Babylon in the back by the outfield. All right, Drew Heaton, Jonathan Hoffman, Christy Simone, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Whenever I hear Orleans, I always think of Yacht Rock Radio, really. And that great guy they have on doing the little promos. Yacht Rock Radio. Smooth. Hey, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. It is the Monday edition. Brother Joe is on in the third hour. We're hanging out with Drew Heaton, the grand mistress of the Libertarian Party.
I like it.
And Jonathan Hoffman, the feral libertarian.
Yes.
Let's get to Gretchen Whitmer, right? A true poster child of lockdown madness. And what's good for thee is not good for me, right? She's done that a couple of times. Now, the good thing is, this is from Rebecca Downs at Town Hall. The Michigan State House on Wednesday passed the Unlock Michigan initiative by a vote of 60-48, according to the Detroit Free Press. The state Senate did it on July 15th. It was reported that the Michigan Supreme Court ruled that the state had to certify the voter initiative. Such an initiative repeals the Emergency Powers Act of Governor Act of 1945.
Sweet.
Yes, ma'am. So anyway, it looks like it's heading that way, where she will be stripped of her emergency powers as they move through this process. So
beautiful.
You know, I mean, we know I think we're all in the idea that the lockdowns were politically motivated. We know, and what happened was too, is that they only want to take certain information, right? Which is cases means more than suicides, right? Cases means more than people who are dying of heart attacks because they never went to their doctor because they were shutting down elective surgeries, or they
never got their routine scans or whatever.
You know, so now that we're going to have all the different variants now are going to come. I mean, we're already talking about lambdas.
Sorry, this was predictable, Chris. This was predictable.
So as we move forward now that we know what we know over the last 15, 16 months,
chasing the goalposts.
We're moving them around and chasing them, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's the crazy part. What does the average American need to do? Because in the next few months, according to you guys, because remember, we're living in lockdown central here.
Massive nullification.
What's that mean? Just give me that in specific actions.
This ends when we all say no. It really means that people need to stand up, whether they're individuals or businesses, and just
you doing Nancy
defy.
Reagan? Just say no? We're doing Nancy Reagan. Just say no. But it's true, right?
It's absolutely the truth.
And because they're going to, if you're the Democrats, what do you got working for you, right? You got fear.
Right.
Right. And come run to us to protect you because we're putting you in this situation again.
Right.
That's where I, what about you, Hoffman? What do you think needs to happen with the average American as some of these crews, I mean, we're already seeing mask mandates back in and all this stuff. What does the average American need to do in your mind?
No, I'm with Drew. Just, you know, when you're the last, safety gap or the last stop valve, then you got to engage.
So in the end, right, it's you just got to go live your life.
And fight the power.
Yes.
Right. So a friend of mine, it was towards the end of lockdown where after he was telling me that he went to this is right when Doug killed the masks kind of thing, but Rahina still wanted to keep the masks and all that jazz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes over to the Target at Elkhorn Mall. Wasn't even thinking. He's thinking, you know, we're moving on with life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, hey, you can't, you got to wear your mask. He goes, you know, go call the cops. I broke the law or something. So because I'm not wearing my mask and I entered your wonderful building, I'm going to wait. He sits on the little chair and goes, call TPD. Come have them get me. And they're like, well, I don't think they're going to come. Well, how about letting me shop? And they said, well, we can stop you from shopping. And he said, what if I use the self-serve kiosks? What are you going to do? Are you going to shut them off and inconvenience everyone so I can't use it? Or am I going to go to number 6 and you're going to lay across the top of it and keep me from scanning and completing my transaction? What do you want to do here? Are you really going to go jump on top of the kiosk, the self-serve thing, put your butt on? Remember in the old days when people at holiday parties used to, you know, photocopy their naked butt at the holiday party on the photocopier? He's like, is that what you're going to do? You're going to go sit on top of the, you're going to scan your butt? Is that what you're going to do? And they're like, all right, sir, have a good time. Enjoy shopping. That's where it starts, right? And I've had parents that I've said they're very frustrated, like the school board at Vail or any of these other school boards. And I said, send your kid to school with no mask. Have security grab your kid and throw him out of school. Go for it.
The majority of people and parents agree, but they're still living under fear.
Yep.
They're still living under fear. And we just need to stop being afraid.
I mean, if you want a school nightmare, have your kid say, look, they might grab you and pull you out of school. But we have to, if you're raising your kid to believe what you believe, that's what you got to do, right? And you make sure everyone say, hey, make sure all your friends cell phone it when they drag your ass out of class, right? And you have a few of those, it's over. It's over. Yeah. All it takes is, you know, a couple of lawsuits and it's over. Have a nice day. But we have to be ready because they're coming back.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming back.
I could have told you that.
You know?
I'm not convinced that's going to make it over.
Say, what do you mean?
Well, I think if you rebel like that and have the kid escorted out of school and have it all video recorded and so forth,
right?
All the lefties are going to go absolutely ape because they don't want to suffer the loss. And, you know, you think cancel culture was bad before. It's going to be, they're not going to give ground. The left is never going to give ground.
So you're saying that basically that kid will live with a mark on his, because he's a super spreader? Is that what they're going to say?
I don't know what
they're
going to say.
They're going to go after the 12-year-old super spreader.
Well, it is happening. I mean, I think he was an 8-year-old thrown out of the Vail school district. And, you know, the parents and kids pretty much agree, but they're unwilling to buck authority. And unfortunately, that is the point where we're at. I mean, if you believe that, you know, I mean, if you believe that the mask is going to protect you, you know, knock yourself out, right? But
right.
If you, like I know that that is false, then you've got to start standing up for what you believe in, period.
You know, it's amazing. We've been going through this for 16 months or more, and there still is no credible mask study. None. You'd figure there'd be multiple ones, right? There'd be multiple studies that are really all that crap that they mm-hmm. want, right? On masks, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all of these things, right? That they say one's good and two are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
No.
I don't see it. Because, again, this scientism that some of our brother and sisters are living on the other side
Amen.
Of the world is just insane.
The people on
Preach
the left.
It.
Thank you.
The people on the left don't think like we do. Like you were just talking about, well, the three of us are talking about an individual act that's going to, you know, break the stranglehold. That's because we think in terms of individuals. They think in terms of masses. And if you have an errant individual coming out of the mass, they have no trouble with dealing with that errant individual in the most extreme ways. So forget
the left. We need the conservatives to stand up, conservative and libertarians. You know, it's true. I think you're absolutely right, Jonathan. But what is holding this in place is the compliance of the right, of the conservatives, of those who actually know that it's wrong and are doing it anyway.
Right.
It just needs to stop.
Yeah, because they're going to
be brave.
They're going to come knocking again. And we know pretty much 90% of their arguments of the last 6 months don't hold water.
Doesn't matter.
I know, but that's what we've learned. It doesn't hold water. And I don't get me wrong. The number one reason they acted like they acted was Donald Trump. They wanted to kill him so bad, and everything was being politicized. Think about it. Right before that middle of March, 15 days to slow the spread, is Trump killed the guy, General Soleimani in Iran, right? And the Democrats and the media were taking the other side. Oh, you shouldn't have done that, right? It could make him angry. Right? So everything was coming politicized. That killing of a guy who was basically masterminded or personally killed thousands of people through acts of terrorism was somehow a divisive subject and was going to be used to hurt Trump. Right? So when this thing came along, they lost their minds. I think from the national side down to the local, I think there were Democrats in Tucson that were doing lockdowns, and in the back of their mind, they said, this is going to help get Trump out of here, which is really pathetic.
So what it's exposed is the root of the problem is that we're at a moral crisis. There are not enough people in our county, in our nation, that are willing to stand up and do the right thing regardless.
Comfortably numb.
Yes.
That's exactly where they're at.
So we have to acknowledge that. That's why I'm going to say that again. We're at a moral crisis. If you know what is right and don't do it, you're part of the problem.
So yesterday I put up a meme. It was the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I love that.
All right.
Wi-Fi.
So it's a triangle, right? And on the big base on the bottom is your safety, right? You know, whether that's we talk about police staffing, you're not going to be killed. You could at least survive another day to get to the other parts of the. And then this person put on the bottom Wi-Fi below that. And it's true, right? If you want to have a house go in chaos, kill the Wi-Fi. You can't do your Netflix. You can't listen to Spotify. You can't do your Instagram. You're toast. That's where we're at. We are so distracted, right? We're so distracted and comfortably numb that, think about with these lockdowns. Hey, guys, we're going to pay you extra money.
Mm-hmm. Moral crisis.
We're gonna print more money. Right? We're just going to hand out government money. And think about it. We're going to have you sit on your ass, right? And watch Netflix. And idiots like Fitz at the Paper and all these people were calling you heroic. Right? If you remember, there was that commercial. I'm trying
disgusting.
To remember.
Disgusting.
There was a commercial that was comparing you staying home and saving lives to the guys at Iwo Jima.
Disgusting.
I remember that. And you're kind of going, so we're saying the guys at Iwo Jima are the same as someone eating their tub of popcorn from Costco, sitting on their ass, clicking in the two meetings, right, at their job, and still getting paid to do nothing. That's where we're at. That's America. That's
morally
the moral
bankrupt, right?
Yeah, we're just, it's just.
And the federal government is commandeering all the money there is today, and they're commandeering all the money there is in the future. So that no matter how bad they screw up the country, the Republicans will come into office and they won't be able to do anything because the Democrats have already wrapped their arms around all the power and all the money.
Jonathan Hoffman, Drew Heaton, Christy Simone, and you. It's an O kind of Monday. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We got a fun week ahead. Wednesday is Ed Alexander and Alan Michaels in the Tucson of Tucson, History of Tucson Radio. There we go. I do have to drink some coffee. Dan, we're out of Filthy Pirate. I got this Kirkland crap. Save us. Let's go, Filthy Pirate. Wow. Hey, we're always looking for new tunes here on the Wake Up Tucson show.
And it fits in Onuka.
Well, that's true. It does. All right. Well, thank you, Seth, for that. I got to listen to it a little bit. That might be good to play for Schweikert when he's on. It feels very Schweikertish.
Yeah.
So I do want to welcome you all back. It is fun starting my Monday off with the libertarians. It's always an interesting crew, as we like to say. I always love coming in on Tucson when I come around the interstate over there on 22nd. You have those roadside motels, and there's one called Oyo Motel. And that should be the flagship hotel for Tucson, Arizona. Because I don't know what it means, but I feel like I know what it means. On your own. Right?
It's spelled the same way backwards or forwards.
O-Y-O. Right. So you are correct. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God. That's the old Pueblo slogan. You're on your own. So, so let's get to Jonathan. Let me ask you this question. We got a few minutes here. So as a guy who's trying to espouse your libertarian values into a column for the last so many years, right?
Yes.
What's been the kind of evolution of response to some of your, I think your last 6 months you've been taking even better positions where you're really challenging the brains of the Arizona Daily Star's subscription base. What's the evolution of reaction to what you've been writing?
You know, when I first started, there was a lot of negative outcry or reaction, and then it all kind of settled down to so people, you know, knew what to expect and they wouldn't read me anymore.
Right.
But you still get a fair number of email responses. Probably 2/3 are negative, 1/3 strongly positive.
That's good.
And it's kind of been maintaining like that. And every once in a while, I kick the hornet's nest, like the last minimum wage a few weeks ago. That got lots of letters to the editor, lots of emails to me. And
oh, they were so pissed at you.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
It's a beautiful thing.
Look, this crew has been coddled by this paper for years. Their leadership, no one's challenging them at their paper. It's like, oh, it's the state's fault, you know. Oh, it's Trump's fault. Oh, it's the state's fault. Nothing is anyone's fault in this town ever, unless it's Allie Miller, who was always in the never wore close near a majority, but everything was Allie's fault. Yeah. That tells you exactly where this paper has been broken for years. But again, it's the idea that I'm glad you're doing it. Keep challenging them. God knows they need it because they're not getting it from little Timmy. They're not getting it from Sarah. Sad to say, there's no challenging of the group thought. The Borg from Star Trek, we're living it here, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I will have to point out though that they do run it. Even when it's really icky to them. And
kudos to them.
Yeah, and I think my editor Sarah Gasson has never rejected or blocked anything based on the
disagreeing with your point of view.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, you know, she gets that that's my job. That's why I'm there.
Right.
To give the alternative perspective.
790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Ted on line 2. Ted, you're on Chris, Drew, and Jonathan. What's up?
Oh, great. Well, they ran an article a year or two ago in the Wall Street Journal about OYO. It just had a fascinating history.
What does it stand for?
I don't know what it stands
for. All
right,
I'm looking it up now.
Where they had an immigration policy where if you had so much money, you could buy immigration status coming in, starting a business in the United States. So this led to a lot of Indians coming and buying derelict motels in rural areas across the country. And now this large Indian corporation is consolidating those. And the ones that the corporation buys are relabeled OYO.
And it's funny that you say that. I'm reading it right now, and it's exactly what you said it is. It's an Indian multinational hospitality chain of franchise hotels, homes, and living spaces. CEO Ritesh Agrawal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we go to Deming a lot, and there's at least one in Deming that was built in the post-World War II era and is still surviving as a very antiquated type place, but it's there.
So it does mean on your own is what it means. So it says OYO stands for, this is from a Forbes article, stands for wow. On your own rooms, which sounds like something a teenager might make up.
Right.
That's what it says in the Forbes article.
The French did in the 60s when they created Motel 6. Motel 6 stood for $6 a night.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, I gotcha. So again, it just hit me. I'm like, that is the city of Tucson. You are on your own. So perfect.
Right.
All right, Teddy, thanks for the history, man. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good day. Let's get to our holidays today. National Coffee Milkshake. Okay. It's All or Nothing Day. Perfect. National Bagel Fest Day. Aunt and Uncle's Day. And World Tofu Day.
All right.
That was perfect. The Drew disgust and his all right at the same time. So, all right. Christy, Simone, and Libertarian Crew coming back next. Wake up.